Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Psachim, daf Gimel. Yesterday we got to the bottom of, towards the bottom of Beis Mavez. We're actually about four lines up from the bottom of the page. We were bringing Rayas. Our Mishnah discussed that on the Ur of Arba Asar, one is Mechuyiv to do, one is a mitzvah to do a Bedika of his Chametz on the Ur of Arba Asar. Of course, we know the punchline. We know the Maskana that Ur of Arba Asar means the night of the 14th when we do Bedika at nighttime. But there's discussion in the Gemara between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. To Amram, Rav Huna said, what does Ur mean? Nagi, light. Rav Yehuda says, what does Ur mean? It means nighttime. We assume that Rav Huna, when he says it means light, it means morning, it means daytime. So we started a whole slew of rayas. I think it's going to be roughly around 15 rayas in total, maybe 14 to be exact, rayas in total, that we're going to have whether or not Ur in the Mishnah, does Ur, the word Ur mean nighttime, or does it mean morning? So yesterday we went through about eight rayas, or eight attempts at a rayas, and we only were successful in one. We had one clear raya from the Mishnah Daf Yud, which says she just Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, who says that you do bedika or arbasar. Then again by shachris in the morning, which very clearly indicates that what does arbasar mean? Arbasar means the nighttime. So we had one clear raya that ar means nighttime. So far we have one clear raya today in our next. I think it's about six more rayas we're going to attempt to bring today. In these six rayas, we try to bring only the second one is deflected. Yesterday our success rate was 1 for 8. Today we're going to do 5 out of 6. 5 out of 6 attempts that we're going to bring for Rayas are going to be successful. And of course, all the Rayas are going to be that Ur means nighttime. Ur means, our buster means the night of the 14th. So let's see. Meisvei. We're at 4 lines up at the bottom of the page on Beis Mabez. Meisvei, Emasimasus, Elachadash, Elchadash, Shanira, Bismane. We're talking about when they used to want to let the people know that whether a month was a Ibra Chedesh or not, when you had the new month, when Mish Chedesh was. So Edom kept testifying in front of the courts that they saw the new moon, they dedicate the new month in order to make it known throughout the country that the new month, Mish Chedesh, they would light fire, light torches on top of mountains. And the word, that was the before they had modern means of telecommunications, they would simply just light these fires and people would see the fire, the torches on the mountains, and the word would spread that they made the new month. So the Brisa says they only light the torches on a chaydish that was seen bismana. When a chaydish is, by definition, once you got past day 29, once you got to day 30, and they didn't declare a proper chaydish, so you know that the next day is going to be Rish Chodesh anyway, because even if it's the most it could be is a 30-day month instead of 29-day, so that's already an Iber month, so the next day is Rish Chodesh. So they would just notify people when it was Rish Chodesh was Bismanai, when it was early, but if it was late, then they wouldn't do this notification. Okay, but when do you do it? Ela Chodeshner is Manai. The Emasimasimasuiz. When did I light the torches? Lo'ari Burai. The night of the Burai. The night of the day that would have been the Iber day. That's when they, which would mean the night of the 30th day. Which would be the Yema Iber. That would be the leap day of the month. That's when you light it. What do you see? Ari Burai in that context. You're lighting the fires at night. Obviously, that's when it's noticeable. The Ari Burai is the night of the day of Iburai, Alma Urtu, Lchertz Shakaraya, that Ur is the night before. Ur is at night, not by morning. The Mar says, you're right, Shma Mina. So that's successful Raya number 2. You're right, that is a good Raya, that Ur means the nighttime. Okay, the Mar makes another attempt of here, which we're going to deflect. Meisvei. If you notice, we've actually changed. In the beginning, we were focused more on psukim, trying to bring rayas from the taich of psukim, the word ar used in psukim, as to what ar in a mishnah means. And now, for the most part, it's already started, the past couple of rayas, and it's going to continue through the rest of the rayas. All these rayas arise from the nusach, the lashon used in brayas or mishnayas. We're going to Mishnayos or Lashon Mishnayos and Brayos as opposed to Lashon Psukim, and our success rate actually jumps up dramatically. Says the Gemara, this Brayos is not going to stick, but says Gemara, another Brayos from a Brayos, if a Kohen was standing up the entire night, and he's be makav kabbalas mizbech. The question was, does he need to do kiddush shnayim raglayim fresh in the morning? He never stopped doing avoda. Lo'ayra, there's a right the other way. There's a right that what does Ur mean in the morning? He was up all night doing avoda la ayra by the ayra. Tan kiddush shnayim raglayim means kiddush shnayim raglayim. Rabbi says he needs to wash hands again. It's a mechayev of the morning coming to wash tisadayim to wash for the kir. Not just because his hands were dirty or because has a chadas or sleeping. Even if he's doing avoda kol laila, he needs to do a new tisadayim. Fine, but the point I should say new kiddush shnayim raglayim. He needs a new kiddush shnayim raglayim from the kir. So what do you see? Lo'ayra, every clearly means morning. So isn't that right? Ur means morning. Says Gemara, ayra shiny. The word ayra is different. Ayra, you're right. Aira and La'ira. Remember, we spoke out in the Pesukim yesterday that we deflected a lot of Pesukim say Ar, and it's referring to light, referring to morning. We said because Ar is description also. Ar could be description of morning by saying it's light. So here too could be that type of idea. Aira is also more of a description of time that's light. And once you're talking about a time that's light, that's clearly, that seems to be referring more to the morning. Our question circles around the word Ar. What does Ar alone, not Aira, mean? Ar, we want to say, still means nighttime, or we have no Raya. Okay, so this Raya was deflected. Next Raya.
It's interesting that the Gemara doesn't say Ayamid Kalalayla, so Ayra there has to mean morning.
It does. That's the Mara's Raya.
What?
That is. You're missing me. Isn't that the Mara's Raya? Oh, he's saying it's not a Raya because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Hagufa. Yeah, but the fact that we're using this word is a Raya. That's what it means. At the end of the day, it's still a Raya. Still a Raya. Still a Raya. I have what you're saying. You're saying because it's so obvious in that context. Right, but again, at the end of the day, why do we choose that word? Choose by biker. Elamai, Ayra must be biker. That's the Mara's right. The Mara's answer is that no, that the Ayra over there just La Ayra and Achami could mean clearly mean morning. La Ayr, we still have no Raya. Mesve Marzutra. Mesve Marzutra. Marzutra asked a Raya for the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Krisos on the Zion. Hamapel's early Shmerna Bechad. One woman who has a miscarriage on the night, well, we're giving the answer already, but on the night of the 81st. So let's explain what's going on. Before we even get into the Mishnah, let's give a quick Akdama. We know Anisha, after she has a child, if she has a male, she's tummy for 7 days, and then she has 33 days, he made Tara, and she finishes the cycle at the end of 40 days. If she gives birth to a female, this is part of the meaning of Isha Kisazria, if she gives birth to a female, she has Tumah for 14 days, and then she has 66 days Yimei Tara. What that means is no 66 days Yimei Tara for a girl, or the 33 days Yimei Tara for a boy. Even if she sees Dam, we consider Dam Tara. So she doesn't have a status of Dam that makes her tummy, it's Dam Tara. But Lamaisa, throughout that period, she can't catch him. When does she finish her full Leda process and able to catch him? After, let's just focus on the Nekeva for now, because that's going to be the focus of this Mishnah. When she gives birth to the Nekeva, after 14 days plus 66 days, after the 80 days, so on the 81st day, presuming that her body stops seeing Dam now, because again, the 66 days she can see Dam, but at the end of 80 days, if she has no longer seen Dam, and she's goes to the mikvah, and the next morning, on day 81, she brings the carbon, that finishes her Tara process by bringing the carbon, she's able to catch him. Now, that's all within, that's a normal cycle of 80 days for Nekeva, and then the carbon's in day 81. What if she has another birth before the 81st day? So what if she has another birth in the first 80 days on day 60? Now, obviously, she can't have a full-term birth. 60 days is not nearly enough time. It's 2 months, not nearly enough time for a full-term birth. And she was also telling me the first 14 days after she had the baby. Certainly, it's not full-term, but she can have a miscarriage. And luckily, a miscarriage, once the baby reaches a certain amount of time, a miscarriage is considered a Leda for these purposes. So she's chayiv another carbon Leda. So the halacha is as follows. If she had another Leda within the 80 days, she's now mechuyev to bring... She's not mechuyev to bring a new carbon. The carbon that she brings for the first Leda, that she really was going to have an 80-day process, I mean a carbon at day 81, that same carbon works to exempt also her miscarriage that she had before the 80 days. However, if it's on day 80, let's say day 82, that she had the miscarriage, then she's chayev a second carbon, and if she hadn't brought the first carbon yet, what she has to do, she has to wait 80-day process again, wait the full cycle, and then when she's done with the cycle, she brings two karbanos. Okay, so if she's mechuyev at the same time, both, meaning if it happened during the first 80 days, she's chayev one karban. Happens the 82, she's chayev two karbanos. What's the shaila? What happens by the 81st at night? The night of the 81st, remember, she's out of her 80 days. It's the night already of the 81, night goes before the day. Night of the 81, but she's ready, it's ready time for her to bring a carbon, but she can't bring the carbon yet because it's nighttime, it's not daytime. Carbon's brought by day. What's the status? Do we say it's already, she's out of her first carbon, and therefore she's mechuyev a second carbon? Or do we say, since she's the ma'aseh, she couldn't bring the first carbon yet, she's still considered within the time period of first carbon, and the first one carbon would satisfy both? That is the shaila. Let's see the Mishnah now. So it says the Mishnah increases of Zion, top of the page, Hamapelos early Shmain of Echad, a woman who has a nephil, the night of the, she has a miscarriage on the night of the 81st. Again, I'm talking miscarriage because it wouldn't never be another full term birth then. So she has a miscarriage on the night of the 81st. She's part of a new carbon. Why? Because right now she's still not fit to bring the first carbon, so this could be included with the first carbon. And Beis Hillel says, no, she's chayv a new carbon. What's the difference by the night of the 81st? What's the difference between the night of the 81st and the 81st itself? This is Beis Hillel telling Beis Shammai, she should be chayv another carbon. Meaning, her tumma, the halacha is her tumma cycle is over after 80 days. So just like her tumma cycle is over after 80 days, just like the day of the 81st, certainly having a miscarriage that day wouldn't be mechayev another carbon, even if she hasn't poured the carbon yet. She hasn't brought the carbon yet in the morning, let's say. She didn't bring the carbon yet, but she had the miss in the morning. Even Beis Shammai agrees. Now she needs a separate carbon. So the night's the same thing. You haven't brought the carbon yet, punk, but you're already in a different cycle. You're in a different time frame. The late is over. Okay, that's the conversation, Beis Shammai Zil. What's our focus? Our focus is that it says, Amapel's Erle Shmainim. Now that alone may not have been a raya, but Beis Hillel's comment to Beis Shammai was, why is it different? The R from the day itself. Sounds like or is nighttime. For the fact that Beis Hillel says contrast, the R of the, he actually compares. He says, why is there a difference? Why are you making a chiluk between the night of the 81st and the day of the 81st? It's very clear that R in this context means night. R means the night of the 81st. We have another raya. Here is a clear raya. It's actually raya number 3 if you keep the score. Here's another clear raya that we're saying R in the Mishnah means the nighttime, or means night. So Ur Larbasa means the night of the 14th. Now just a side point. In this conversation, Rashi, when he describes what the Ish has to do when she's mechuyev a second carbon. Let's say it happened on, according to Beis Hillel, even if it happens on the night of the 81st already, and certainly on the 81st day, certainly on the 82nd day, we just use that as a simple example, it doesn't even get involved in the Shailos. She's a chayv a second carbon. So Rashi's description says, you know what she has to do? She has to wait till the end of the second group of 80 days, and then when she's ready, out of the second group, then she brings Ubav Seif. I'm reading the end of the top Rashi, it's a fairly long Rashi. If you go about 12 lines down into Rashi, Rashi says first one line, 10 lines down, Ubav Seif Malay Shalei Dashnia. At the end of the Malay, that called 80 days of the second Leda, Tavi Shtei Kabbarnas. Then she brings two Kabbarnas. And the question is, why does Rashi say she has to wait till the end of the 80 days, the second 80, to bring both Kabbarnas? I forstay that she can't bring the second carbon till the end of the second 80 days. But let her bring the first carbon during the term of the 80 days. Meaning, her first 80 days are done. She's chayv a carbon for that. We're saying that she's chayv a second carbon for this navel, according to Beis Hillel, even the night of the 81st, according to Beis Shammai, the day of the 81st. She's chayv a separate carbon. She didn't get a chance to bring the first carbon yet. Rashi says she has to wait another 80 days to bring both carbonas. Why? Let her bring the first carbon. The zman for the first carbon is ready. Let her bring the first carbon now, and let it be the second garment after 80 days. That is a diak the Rashi Yosef asked as a kasha Rashi, and really what he's tapping onto is a machlekes Rambam and Ravid. It's a black and white machlekes. Rambam says exactly like Rashi that she has to wait till the end of the second set of 80 days to bring both karbanas, whereas Ravid says, like the Rashi Yosef, he's bothered, he's masik on the Rambam, and he says, I don't understand why I have to wait. Bring the first carbon. We find the person could be totally tummy, and he's chayv achatas, and he sends the carbon to the base of English, sends the carbon to Kayan. The Kayan brings the carbon to the person's behalf. He gets a kapar for his chatas, even though he's still tummy. Being tummy is not a, seemingly, not a deterrent, is not something which is an ikav with regards to getting a carbon, being a carbon for a kapara, being some sort of carbon. So the Kesef Mishnah explains the math of Rambam and Echrami. Rambam is masking the normally, being tummy doesn't adversely affect the ability to bring a carbon. But over here, by laid to the Torah, laid forth a specific process where you have to wait 80 days, 14, 66, then she brings the carbon for Tara, to complete a Tara, to be able to catch him. It's clear that the Torah is makpid, that the carbon Leda cannot be brought when she's still in a matzav of Tumas Leda, of Yimei Leda. Carbon Leda can only be brought when she's ready to exit the matzav of Tumas Leda, and therefore now that she has a second Chiyav, in that case she have to wait till the second Chiyav. That's a specific requirement over here by Yoledas. And a Chami wouldn't be required elsewhere, because Mishnah Spending in Rambam, which we're going to also say the same Shad Rashi, is why you have to wait to the end of the second set of 80 days. Yes, that's a good point. Sorry, that's a good point. In a case where, in our earlier case, but she had a miss before the end of the 80 days, over there she brings a carbon, she brings a carbon at the end of the second 80 days. She's only bringing one set. When she's only bringing one set, that certainly has to be at the very end. That is correct. That is correct. Yes, yes. So thank you for pointing that out. Okay, let's go back there. Zakti Gavara, Meisvei. Meisvei, let's hold off now. Meisvei, Yochel, Yenechel, Oil Shlishi. I would think that a person could eat a carbon shlamim the night of the third. Meaning, when you bring a carbon, the day, you bring carbon only by day, obviously. Carbon can't be brought at night. You bring it by day. You're allowed to eat the carbon that day. And the following night, that's for kachim. That's asham. chatas, of course, oily can eat. For kachim kachim menachas, you're able to eat it that day and the following night. Kachim kalim, such as a shlomim, you're able to eat that day, the following night, and the following day. Now, I would have thought that you get the night after that day as well. Because just like the day by kachim kachim is, I get today and tonight, so too by kachim kalim, where I get today, tonight, and tomorrow, I get the night following tomorrow, which would be technically the night of the third day. Because today is day one, the whole day tonight and tomorrow is day two, and the night following, again, Jewish days start at night, so the night following would be Lahar Shlishi, would be the third day. Just to keep it simple, let's assume the guy Shechter Korban on Sunday. So I would think that he gets for Shlomim not only Sunday night and Monday, maybe he gets Monday night as well, which is the Ar of Shlishi. So that's going to be the raya that the word Ar means nighttime. Let's see. Says the Mar, Yachal Yei Nechal Ar L'Shlishi, so we already have a raya really. I would think he gets to eat also at the night of the third day, Vidinu, and it makes sense logically. Zvachim Nechal Mimechad. Kachim, some of them eat only for one day. Shlam Nechal Mimechad, where Shlam can eat for 2 days. Malalam Lahalam Lanachayim. But Kachim, when you eat for one day, you eat the day of the carbon and the night afterwards. This is the famous expression where we have a Kachim, the Laila, and as opposed to normally we keep referring that by Yiddishkeit, we say the night goes first and then the day, in every day, it's Ve'er Ve'Veker. By Kachim, the night goes after the day. This is part of the base of that idea. It's because the Achil of the Kachim, that's even Kachim, you only have to eat it for this day. The Yishechta, and the following night. The night goes after the day. Okay, but just like Kachi Kachi, we say, and you get to Monday evening, Monday night, which is really the night of Yom Shlishi, should be included as well. No, we darsh the Pasuk, that which is left over, Adyayim, as Pasuk says, has to be as a chiv of Sreifa. We darshan from Adyayim, Ba'idyayim. While it's daytime, the Shlom Kibitin, again, Shechter on Sunday, it can be eaten while it's still daytime on Monday. And Nechla Shlishi, but it cannot be eaten the night of the third day, it cannot be eaten Monday night. Okay, it's a drasha of the Pasuk. Yachli, sir, from Yad, you think that you burn it right away. The second you pass, let's say Monday, Beshkia, where you no longer can eat it because it's ready Tuesday night, you can't eat it, the night of the third day, it's ready Monday night. It's the night of the third day. You can't eat it anymore. Maybe you burn it right away. We're saying whatever's left over, you burn. Maybe you burn it immediately. The dinu makes sense. Zvachim, meaning we can make again a logical comparison. Zvachim nechal liyam v'laylechad. Ushlam nechal l'shem v'laylechad. A regular kachakachim kavitim for the day and the following night. Where ushlam kavitim for a day, the night, and the following day. Malalom, we know by kachakachim take v'chil sreifa. It kavitim by day and the following night, and whatever's left over by the morning is burnt right away. So after the last man achila, it right away is a chiv of sreifa. So too, say the same thing. Afkan take a achila sreifa. Say over here as well. Right after this man of achila sreifa, right after one finishes this man achila, which is by shlamim yishechter on Sunday afternoon, Monday afternoon, Monday by shkia is the last time to eat. So maybe the sreifa is immediately that Monday night. You don't wait till the morning to burn it. Tamal leimar vaneisim besaz zevach b'yam shlishi b'yisaserif. We darshan that the pasuk says pretty clearly that which is left over from the zevach on the third day should be burnt. We darshan b'yam at the serif, but yam shlishi tells me by day it's burnt. If you have to serve b'leila, but not night. Okay, that's a nice again nice din legabi neiser legabi the zman of achil shlamim. But the point is, it's very clear in the brayser and the kamer yeh nechal or l'shlishi alma or urtu. The havmin was that should be eaten the or l'shlishi to the or shlishi. The whole havmin was giving it the night after the day. It's very clearly from the gemara's context. Trying to give the night after the day, and we call the night after the day, we call it Ar. It's another raya, another successful raya, that Ar means nighttime. Tashema, says the Gemara, another raya again with the word Ar. Ar, Shem, Kippur, Mispalam, Shev, Misvada. The Ar, Vim, Kippur. So far, if you're keeping track, yesterday we had one raya that Ar means nighttime. Today we so far have had already three rayas. We've had three rayas. We had the raya for the Masues, from the lights, these are the torches. We had the raya for the Mapelas, the Tumas Leda for Yeledas, and then we just had a raya from Neser. That's three rayas so far today plus one yesterday. We're at four rayas total, and we're gonna have two more to wrap up this conversation. Tashema. The night of Yom Kippur, and again with Taichi at night, that's going to be clear in the context, and this is going to be another raya, that is nighttime. The night of Yom Kippur, you daven seven, you daven shmonesik of seven brachas, and you say vidya afterwards. Shachris b'sal shem mizvada, mus b'sal shem mizvada. Shachris and mus do the same thing, mincha as well, mincha b'sal shem mizvada. So we do mayriv shachris, mincha, mayriv shachris, sorry, musaf, and mincha, the mer over here, this happens not to mention meat and ila, okay? You dive in all these seven brachas, and you misvada. But arvus b'sval meish b'naser, And Meirif, there's Meirif Matzah Shabbos, you do Me'ein Shmaneser. You don't do the regular Shmaneser, you don't do the regular Shmaneser, you do Me'ein Shmaneser, you do like a, more of an, a British version of Shmaneser. This is a famous tefillah we spoke on many times. We referenced it, the main sugya is in brachas around the Chavtes, where we discuss the tefillah of Havinenu. That's the short, you say a little bit of each bracha, you say a tefillah, Havinenu, you say the first, the beginning brachas, the end brachas, and then the first to be the last thing you say, the middle 13, 12 it used to be, now 13, you say a more abridged version. So why Vesepis is this Tana saying that Meir of Kibbutzim Kippur, you say the British version? Simple, because people are fasting the whole day. People are fasting all day, so we're trying to relax on them a little bit, make it easier them to end the fast. Okay. Says now, Rechanim ben Gamliel Eimer, Mishum Beveis, 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 Rechanim ben Gamliel says no, he says the name of his fathers, that no, you got to say the full Shem Beveis, you know why? Because you need to say Chayin Adas. You need to get to in order to say Atachanadanu, in order to make Abdullah, and since you didn't make Abdullah, therefore you have to speak out the full Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, but the context clearly is saying that Ur of Yom Kippur means the night of Yom Kippur, Alma Urtu, another Raya, Ur is Urtu, Shema Amina, a good Raya. So before we go further, just a drop on this topic of needing to say the whole Shemoneh Esrei because of Abdullah. So really, this is not the first time we had this conversation. We had this back on Daf Chavtes in Brachas, we just referenced. The Gemara that says, all year round, you can say Avinenu, except Chutz from Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Yom Tovim. Except Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Yom Tovim, because you have to say Havdalah, therefore you can't say Avinenu. Mazutra over there, the Gemara asks. Mazutra, and the Gemara leaves really unresolved. What's the problem? Stay Avinenu, just like Avinenu references the you know, part of the Teichon of every one of the brachas in between. So let Avinenu also reference part of Havdalah in Atachanadas. Why is that a reason to have to say the entire Shemoneh Esrei again? That is a question from Mazutra asked. The Gemara leaves it shver. So over there, the Gemara doesn't fully resolve it. So the question the Rishonim asked by us, Ritva, Rabban say that question should be applying also over here in our sugya. A Matzim Kippur, Rabbi Chanim Gamil saying you got to say a full Shemoneh Esrei of Matzim Kippur because of Havinenu. So why? L'chor you have the kasher Mazutra. Why do you need to? Why can't you just implement the Avdallah into the Avinenu? Why does that require you saying a full Shemoneh Esrei? As they frick the Ritva and the Ramban on Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel in our Gemara. The answer as follows. The answer that Enechrami, a regular Matzah Shabbos, on a regular Matzah Shabbos, we're not fasting. On a regular Matzah Shabbos, we could dive in the full Shemoneh Esrei. Over here, and we typically do, over here, by the end of the fast, we're trying to say Avinenu, like you pointed out before, because since people are fasting, they're tired, they're hungry, they're fasting, therefore, we're going to have them say Avinenu. Specifically over here, I mean, there's not the same question as the question over there in Shabbat, in Brachas. In Brachas was saying that you should never do it on a Matzah Shabbos because of Avdallah, and the question was, why not? Stick Avdallah to Avinenu, so which would allow you to do it on a Matzah Shabbos. Doesn't mean you're going to do it on a Matzah Shabbos, it means you're able to do it on a regular Matzah Shabbos. That's Mazutra's question. Over here, we're focused on the fact that two points. Number one, the people are fasting and they're hungry, which is why Gufa was trying to get Avinenu in there in order to bridge the Shemoneh Esrei, but also leads them to be less sharp. They didn't all have Siddur in front of them. They didn't all have clear Nusach Tefillah written down. They're less sharp in their Nusach Tefillah, and Avinenu is something that typically they don't do. Even if we go that they could do it on a regular Matzah Shabbos, and they could do it on a regular Matzah Yom Tov, it's not something they did all the time. So the combination of him not having done Avinenu all the time and having to stick something unique into Avinenu, that's a bad combination, especially on Matzim Kippur, when they're tired, they're hungry, they're fasting. Ironically enough, even though they're trying to make Shemoneh Esrei faster, it also could lead to more mistakes, and therefore specifically on Matzim Kippur, perhaps, that's what Rabbi Ritva wants to suggest, specifically on Matzim Kippur is that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel going to say, Mishum Aveisav, that we don't apply Havinenu. Lamaisa, what is an answer? We never really, the Gemara doesn't really fully answer for my Zuch's question. What's Takapshat? Why the Gemara there says that you don't say Havinenu on Matzah Shabbos and Matzah Taim in general? Again, that could help for our Gemara too, but what's the general reason why you wouldn't say, why you wouldn't say Havinenu because of Avdallah on Matzah Shabbos in general? So the Talmid Ben Yena, they explain that Havinenu is again, it's actually machlekes by Avdallah. If Avdallah requires its own bracha, or it's put into Atachainen, or it's put into Maidim, right? We had this discussion in brachas where Avdallah goes. But Pasha's kept for one sheet over there. Pasha's Avdallah is not its own bracha. There's a sheet that says it's a fourth bracha, it's a bracha by itself. It's a bracha by itself. But according to most of the Tanaim there, we're saying that Avdallah is incorporated into one of the brachas. Just question which one, but it's incorporated into one of the brachas. Says the Tamid Ben Yair, very Kishbaka answer. The Gemara doesn't get this answer, but the Mezuzah's question, in general, why we don't want to stick Avdol and Tavinenu is because every line in Avinenu, in the middle lines, is each referring to its own bracha. Each refers to something which is its own full bracha. Das, Tshuva, Slicha, right? These are all things that are gula. These are personal gula. These are all things that are referring to their own bracha, the one-liners, and therefore they warrant their own bracha. Whereas Abdullah, according to the Mahalach of most Tanayim, which is that it's incorporated into one of the brachas, if you're going to give it its own line, it's going to have the appearance, it's going to be replacing a bracha onto itself. Abdullah is not supposed to be its own bracha, and it's not part of the line of Atachan and Bas. So therefore, there's no way to stick it into Avinenu, and that's why you can't say Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Kippur, Matzah Yom Tevim, and again, Fragam Aros, Matzah Kippur, not because there's Be'etzim an issue of, not because we can't incorporate Abdullah into Avinenu, not because we can't abridge Havdalah. We could abridge Havdalah itself, but even abridging it's a problem because that would make it consider its own bracha, and that we don't want to do. We don't want to have it to be considered its own bracha. That's an answer for Tamid Ben Yehuda, again, for the Gemara brachas, which could be applied here for Rav Chanina Ben Gamliel as well. Okay. Now the Gemara is up to the last raya, and this last raya is actually the clearest raya of all. And this last raya the Gemara is going to bring is based on a brisa which comes to explain our Mishnah. Tashema, we find it often, we have Mishnayos, and we have Brises elaborate in the Mishnah. This Brises really is almost, it doesn't even elaborate so much, almost repetitive of the Mishnah, but it switches a key word, the whole word of our topic. Tashema, the Tani Der Beshmuel, in the Beshmuel, they taught the following Brises, Lele Arba Asar, Bait Kinas Chamasar Ner, the night of Arba Asar, Lele, instead of using the word Ar, use the word Lele. You check the Chametz, Lar Ner. Alma, from the Brisa's repetition or interpretation of our Mishnah, we see black and white, very clear, Ar is Urta, L'chayr is a shtaka rayas, the Gemara has succeeded. It's our fifth riot today, our sixth riot in total, the Ar means Urta, so we're happy, we're convinced. As a matter of fact, it's actually Akasha. The Gemara went through 14 different sources, whether it's Psukim, whether it's Mishnayos, whether it's Brisa's, bring rayas, what Ar means. We have a Brisa on our Mishnah that says clearly, Lele. It's the most simplest, clearest raya ever. Why did we go through 13 other rayas together? I may be mistaken with my numbers, but I think it's about 13. Why do we go through these other riots to get here? So the simple answer is always, of course, we didn't know the Brisa. We had all those Shaka Vatayas, all those conversations in the Beis Medrash, until someone reminded us of this Brisa, or taught us, or, you know, put forth this Brisa of Tana Beis Shmuel. That's one simple answer. The other answer is, which probably, I think, even though it's not the simplest answer, maybe it's equally simple, but it's more likely, it rings more true to me, and that is that we knew this, we attacked with the Brisa the whole time. But the Gemara specifically wanted to take us on a travel through Psukim, through Shas, to go through the different places of the word Ar. First of all, we got to different, lot of very nice Geshmaka Sugyas of Neser, of Mapelas, of Kiddush HaChedesh. We went to lots of different Sugyas, but besides for that, we went through these different places and interpreted what the word Ar in these places mean. It was also part of the exercise. The exercise wasn't just touching up Ar in our Mishnah, it was touching up what the word Ar means in the Psukim, in these Mishnayos, and it was a nice Yagdol Torah Ladira to go through many different Gemaras and Psukim to explain them in a more clear manner as well. So even though we may have known this price the whole time, we saved it for the end. Okay, so now the Gemara says, you're right. And the words Kasalka Daitach now ring much more true, right when we started the Gemara. Kasalka Daitach, the Rav Huno says that Ur means Nagi light, it means morning. No. Both of Yehuda and Rav Yehuna agree that Ar in our Mishnah means nighttime. So it says the Gemara, Ela Bein Rav Huna Bein Rav Yehuda, Kulam Ar Urta, Ar means Urta, it's very clear, for all these rayas. V'le Pligi, and when they're arguing about a Taich word, where they're arguing just about it's really, there's no machlekes really, in reality, it's just about the locations. Mar Kiasrei. Each one gave the Lushan of their place. Basar Rav Huna Kar in the locale, of Rav Huna Kar Nagi, they call Nagi. So Nagi, we thought means light. No. He called Nagi night. Night was called Nagi. And by the way, if you remember, there's a word brachas where the Mar seems to say the Nagi could both mean night. It also could mean morning. It means like the Banish Mashas time when it goes from night to morning and morning to, and from daytime to night. That's the Gemara in Brachas. But okay, Rav Huna's place they called Nagi. They called the Lushan. Nagi was called. They called the night Nagi. Nagi again, by the way, calls me light. But it was a way to refer to Laila. That's the main point. So Ur La Arba Asar is again a way to refer to nighttime. When he said Nagi, and Basar Yehuda Kar Laili, and Yehuda's place they called it the more commonly used word that we know of for nighttime, which is Laila. But they both were agreeing that Ur means nighttime. That's not a question. The Gemara is bothered by now, and this will be the focus from here to the rest of the Amud. This topic of Tana Didan, my time like a Tana Laili. Why did our Tana not use the word Laila? Meaning, why? You're right. Very nice. Very geschmack that you're saying that Ur means nighttime. We proved it. Why use the word Ur, which can have confusion? Why not use the more commonly known term of an ur also means light. It's clear, and we see even in Runa's place the word nagi, which means light, was used to refer to nighttime. So we see there's some sort of overlap. And throughout Shas, ur also means nighttime. It means the night. Ur larbasa, ur lis, ur liam shpainim. But why use that word that could be confusing at all? Why not just say laila, which is more simple? Which is what indeed the brayse that Tana de Beis Shmuel taught, the Beis Medrash Shmuel, they brought a brayse which does say laila for our Mishnah. Why not Mishnah not say the lashon laila? Says the Gemara big yisayin, and this yisayin is going to be the focus of the rest of the daf. Lishnam ayahu denakat. The Tana likes to use a more Lashem Aya. Night represents darkness, represents, you know, the not good times. Day, a new day, right? It's light, a new light. It represents the good times. It represents, you know, more uplifting. So the Tana wants to teach in Lashem Aya, a person shouldn't speak Dhamma Piv, says the Gemara. Shari Ika Makasa Shwana says the Torah added 8 letters to avoid saying Dhamma Guna. How so? In order to avoid saying Dhamma Guna Piv, Shinemar, because it says by Tumma, by Behemoth, kosher and non kosher animals, it says, that's Torah kosher. Umna behema ashein ena Torah. Could have just said umna behema tameya. By saying ashein ena Torah, it added 8 letters in order to avoid saying the word tuma. It says ashein ena Torah. It says that which is not Torah in order to avoid saying the lashon which is not a geshmak, namely a lashon of tuma. If Papa brings another raya, Amar Teisha, he brings a raya that actually the Torah added 9 letters. Shinemar kivicha ish ashaliya tar mikra laila. If you have a person who is not tar from mikra laila, he had tuma. He had a raya of tum at night, he had Riyah of Zerah at night. So the Lashon Pasuk is Asher lo yiyatar. It could have just said Yiyah b'cha ish Asher tumi mikra layla. What's Asher lo yiyatar? It's adding 9 letters in order to avoid saying the word tumi. Ravina says actually not 9 letters, 10 letters. Why? Eser. It's Esther, 10 letters, Vav de Tar, because the word Tar is not spelled Chasr, Tar is spelled with a Vav in the Pasuk, and therefore it's actually 10 letters extra in order to avoid the word Tami. It's 60, I have a proof to 16 extra letters. Why? Shnamar ki Amar Mikra, who builti, because he said, a Mikra has happened, ki bu, builti Tar hu, ki lay Tar. Builti Tar, ki lay Tar. Instead of saying Tami, it says, he's not, it builti Tar. It's not tar because he's not been cleaned. He's not been made tar. But the point is, it could just say the word tummy there. So you have 16 extra letters compared to the word tummy. As in this pasuk, we see again we're trying to avoid the word tummy. Tanya b'shmol. Just before we go back to just a key point. Lemaisa, the Tana de Beis Shmuel that we had before brought a brisa that says that what? That Lele Arbasar. Our Mishnah says Arla Arbasar, but the right we brought ultimately that Ar means nighttime is from a brisa that uses the word Lele. So here we're saying that we use the Mishnah of the word Ar because we don't want to say a kind of a more downer type of language of nighttime, yet the brisa itself uses the word Lele. It's a beautiful taina. So if you jump into Rashi, Rashi doesn't ask the question to be about Vernza with his one line. Rashi says that Lashem Dover Maguna, Rashi about again, 10 lines up at the bottom of the page. First one of the lines, different masal maguna. Rashi is davar maguna. Rashi says, lav mishum de leili davar maguna. Not that leili itself is davar maguna. Let's be clear. Leili is not really, you want to say, tamei maybe is already getting to davar maguna. Leili is not davar maguna, but we're still bringing out the point. The fact that Laila still represents darkness, represents something a little more negative. So the fact that we switch from Laila to Ar is teaching us this message not to say davar maguna, but Laila itself is not davar maguna. It wouldn't be, Rashi, without asking questions about burning, it wouldn't be considered a davar maguna to use the word Laila elsewhere. And therefore, the Tana that says it wouldn't be shver, that's her very simple answer based on Rashi that was saying that Laila's not mamish of Maguna, but it is still an indication we can still learn up from the Tana's usage, switching to R, that we prefer to use more positive language. That is how Rashi would be answering the Kasha. Again, if he doesn't ask it, that's how he answers the Kasha. The Baal Ma'ar asked the Kasha straight out, and the Baal Ma'ar wants to answer that our Masechta is our Mishnah is a new Masechta. You're right. Laila is not such a davar maguna, but for a new masechta, that's maguna. To say the word Laila normally wouldn't be a problem. To start a masechta with the word Laila, that's maguna. We find that very often on the end of masechtas, especially when the topics are not so geshmak, we bring psukim of uplifting psukim, try to end a masechta. So too, the Baal Ma'ar is saying the beginning of masechta, we find such a concept. Ask the Raya, beautiful, beautiful taina, but we brought 6 rayas today that R means nighttime. R doesn't mean morning. We brought 6 rayas from various mishnayas and brisas, and those were not cases. You tell me the reason why you switch really Laila's the ikonosach. You switch to R because you want to start a mesechta next makalashin. The brisa is not a mesechta, not mishnayas. Therefore, we're not so makbid. But we brought 6 other brisa mishnayas, but we did switch to R, and they're not the beginning of mesechtas. They're middle. The mapelas shmeinim was sukrisis of Zion. It's not the beginning of mesechta. We see it's clearly not the logic. So it's a nice svara, but we have rayas not like this. That's not the deciding factor. Raya therefore wants to say that the word R is describing, very interesting, the word Ur describes the beginning of the night, which actually we touched on before, that Nagi also can have that meaning. Nagi means day or can be night. It's like the beginning of when you're switching over. Ur represents the beginning of the night. Ur is a funny lashon for night. Ur is light. Ur is a funny lashon for night. So Ur represents when there's still a little light outside. In the end of the day, the beginning of the night, that's what Ur refers to, specifically the beginning of the night. That is why the word Ur is used in all these places. Ur is not just a nicer lashon, which Agamar is bringing the drasha, and that could be like Rashi saying it's still nicer than Laila. But the point is, all these places we use the word Ur because Ur also connotes the beginning of the night, the din of the Mapelis already. I keep going back to that case; it's a symbol that comes to mind, or the din of lighting the Masuas. All these dinim we're talking about the beginning of the night, which the place we discuss. Okay, so what ramifications does that have? The Ravid's explanation: what is that for B'dikas Chametz? Is he coming to say B'dikas Chametz is mutter Rav Tashkia? Is that what he's coming to say? Ur, once you still have light outside, but it's ready the next day, but it's not mamish nighttime yet. Is that really good for B'dikas Chametz? So indeed, Rabbi Yerucham says yes. Banish mashes is good. Banish mashes already is good for B'dika, and it goes with this understanding of the Ravid that Ur already means when it's still light outside. It means the beginning of the night. The Tzvach Ari says no. Avada still means after Tzeis. It just means right at the beginning. You don't have to wait, you know, later into the night. Right at the beginning, but Avada means after Tzeis, but not earlier than Tzeis. Okay. Says the Marvaiter. More rias to this idea of trying to use lashon naki. Tanya b'shmol. Let me start with lashon nakiya. A person is to teach is speak in lashon nakiya. Shrei bezavkar merkav by a zav when he rides an animal. He sits on something. The pasuk calls it when he's riding on something merkav. Merkav connotes like splitting of the feet. Like the feet are hanging over the sides of the animal. Whereas by Isha, we don't want to discuss splitting of the feet. It's a lack of cleanness by Isha describing splitting of her feet. Therefore, Karim Maishav. Because this Maishav sitting, the same Lashon is called Maishav by Nisha. And also another proof to this idea, the Pasuk says, choose the Lashon of the wise. My lips express the refined knowledge. My remember what are we adding from these extra psukim? The first proof of Maishav in America was a Shmaka proof. Maybe by the Raisas we have to have refined speech. But when it comes to Rabbanas, maybe you don't have to have such a Lashon Nakiya. Tashima v'aimer v'tivcha Lashon Arumim. You should choose, meaning even you choose the Lashon of the wise people. Wise people are choosing the nice language. Maybe Dafka in things, in matters of Darabanan, in Darabanan teachings, maybe just like the Raisas, Darabanan is also be speech refined. But in regular day-to-day speech, maybe it's also not maybe that's so important. That's the third pasuk. The refined language should apply even people's regular speech. You tell me we should always speak in a good lashon. Obviously, this question is going to be the bomb question on tuma as well. We find tuma throughout the Torah. It's very nice in many places. The Torah clearly went out of its way not to say tuma. It's good. Definitely, there's a coup to that. But we do find the word tuma throughout the Torah. That's an obvious question. I'm sure it's bothering everyone. The Gemara is going to ask later, but first the Gemara addresses this most recent one. You tell me you don't say lashon merkav v'nisha because it connotes spreading legs, but we find places where it does say it. We should like Siv America, Vaksiv, Vatakam Rifka Vnar Sever, Takavna Gamalan. Rifka, we just had it in the Chumash, right? A couple weeks ago. Rifka got up with her maidens, and they got up and rode the camels. We see a lashon of Rifka being Merkav. Answers the Gemara, of course you have to have a practical terminology, meaning a camel is very high up. When a camel is high up, you wouldn't be able to sit. When you write the word meishav, it does connote sitting the 2 feet together, like over one side of the animal. So sitting with 2 feet on one side of the animal, kind of sideways a little bit, which is definitely a more tenuous way to sit. But that's only when it's practical. Obviously, on a camel, which is 10, 12 feet high in the air, sitting that way could be very dangerous. You could fall right off and hurt oneself. Much, much more comfortable to sit with the feet spread, much more secure. And therefore, over there, it's only normal to sit Merkav. So the Torah is going to use the word of the normal way to sit. Says Gemara, Hasam Mishim B'Yisusa D'Gamalim. You're scared of the Gamalim. Orchi, it's normal, and therefore it describes that's not considered non-Lashon Nakiya. We have a similar Lashon Mesha, took his wife and his banav, and he marked him on the Chamar, Lashon marked him, Lagabi Tzipayri, Lagabi his wife, a woman, Hasam top of Mesh, Mesha banav Orchei, over there, because of banav, we could say Lashon Vayikivim, because there were boys there, Altsapanav, it's okay, it's Lashon Vayikivim, not a Kasha. Fedmar Vixiv, Vahi Isa Recheves, Al Chamar, this one, Basheva came to Davramel, she was riding the Chamar, Recheves Al Chamar. Now it's interesting, you could say over there, and a Chanami, as I would have thought, you could say, because that actually, there was a whole story there with David and Basheva. We actually read this reference yesterday. David thought it was darkness for him in this world and darkness in the next world because of the chait. And not only did he have light in the next world, light even lit up in this world because when the gates opened up and Hizchus in the base of Mikdash, that was and it was clear it was because of Hizchus, that was a testimony to all the people in this world that David, who were saying he was a chayta, that David wasn't a chayta, so he got light even in this world. That was the moment yesterday. So maybe I could have heard that the word Merkavah was specifically used here, because there ultimately was some sort of something that took place over here. I'll say Avera, but some sort of chayt, some sort of something that happened over here. Okay, but the Mar doesn't go there. The Mar says, Hasam Shem Besusa Laila. Over there, she was sitting, even though it was a chamar. Again, by the way, the Gemara, I should have elaborated before, by Moshe Rabbeinu also with Yocheved, with Tzipora and the Banav, it was Fatakavna, that was Gemalim. That was Chamar. That was also Chamar. Chamar, you don't have the excuse of being high up. So the answer is, Al Tabanav. Here also you have Hashem and a Chamar. No excuse of being high up. Why is it saying Lashon of Reichav, not a Lashon of Yeshiva, of sitting? Says the Gemara, few answers. Either there's a fair night. Night is also scarier. That's a reason also to be the derech, normal derech would be merkav even on a chamar. That's a way up. Or if I say I'm leka, it wasn't the fear of night. Rather, mishum b'susa davidika, it was afraid of David. She was afraid of David. David's chashivas. She was scared that being alarmed by meeting David, being so in awe of David, would cause it to fall off. Therefore, she was merkav on the chamar. Or lastly, ibayis ema b'susa David navileka, mishum b'susa dahar eka. Not because of the fear of David, rather because of the fear of the mountain. She was climbing the mountain of the donkey. She was afraid of the mountain. It says more further. V'raisa mi l'ksiv tami. Does not say tami in the raisa. We asked the question before. It says tami in the raisa. So in the Torah. So what's this idea that you always speak lashon akiyah? The Gemara gives a qualification. Here's another klal in learning. Klal number one of the day of learning is use lashon, not just learning mil dalma. Use lashon akiyah. Call number two, specifically in learning, is use Lashon Nekiyah, but not at the expense of making the Lashon longer. So even though we had those right at the beginning, we're falling off those. We're saying typically we want to use Lashon Nekiyah, but if Lashon Nekiyah is going to cause having to elongate the teachings, we'd rather make the teaching shorter, that it's easier for the Talmidim to process and to remember, even less letters and less words. Says the Gemara, El Kalecha Dechaya Dadinanu, when it's equal amount of length of letters and words, Mishnah Lashon Nekiyah, of course the Iker is Lashon Nekiyah. Kalecha Nefishim, when by going to Lashon Nekiyah, it requires longer language, Mishnah Lashon Nekiyah, we teach the shorter language. Kedam Rav Huna Amrav, Farmil Amrav Huna Amar Rav Mishim Rav Meir, Lelim Shad Adam Tamid Derech Katsara, a person always teaches Talmud Derech Katsara, like this, he's able to process it better and remember better. Kalecha Dechaya Dadinanu, Es Temara, when it's the same exact letters, Mishnah Lashon Kavod, we use Lashon Kavod, is that true? Recheves and Yesheves is the same amount of letters. And what are we saying? We're saying that we still went with Lashon of Recheves. Meaning, the Gemara is coming back to the last question, with seemingly the Gemara is assuming they were answering, you know what? We're falling off the other answers of other explanations. The reason is that you use the shortest Lashon possible. That's Recheves. But back to Recheves and Yesheves, it's the same amount of words, same amount of letters. We should still stick with Yesheves. Says the Gemara, Recheves Ksiv. Recheves is written without the Vav. It's written Chasser, and therefore it's less letters than Yesheves, which is with the Vav. Ask Taisus, the obvious question. No. Right, Yesheves at the Vav. Okay, jump into Taisus. Kasha, I think, is more easily understandable than the answer. So this explains why Yeshev couldn't be written at the Vav, but again, that's the obvious question. Says another trying to ask that why couldn't you, for some reason, we couldn't write Yeshev's Chasser also. How did it change? From here to the end of the daf, we have a couple of stories that bring out the point of being careful about language. How did you tell me to have a yasri coming to Rav? The Tamidim saying for the Rav. Chana number one said, "Shasina hashmaite b'davar acher masakran." This study makes us tired like a pig, like a davar acher. The Chana number, the other one said, "This shir shavisa hashmaite ki gedi masakran makes us tired like a goat." Interesting, the shyness to describe the shir. Maybe just wipes them out. Maybe it was a starker shir. Maybe I'm assuming it was complimentary. But the point is, one used lush of a goat, one used lush of davar acher. Rav didn't want to speak to the first one. The fact that he used that lush of speaking of Davaracher of pigs, you know, Davaracher we use, Davaracher is actually the biggest proof to Lashon Nekiyah. We use Davaracher to refer to a Chazir, we don't talk about Chazir. We use Davaracher to refer to Tashmish, to relations. We use Davaracher to refer to Avodah Zarah some places. Davaracher is a way for us to avoid saying things we don't want to say. It's exactly our sugya. The fact that it's funny, this Talmud did use Lashon Davaracher, but the fact that he brought Davaracher in as a description, that also is considered an Lashon Nekiyah, and Rav was upset at that Talmud. Another story along these lines. Hanashi Talmidim have Yashvi Kamidim Hillel. There were these two Talmidim that sat in front of Hillel, the Chamin and Reichem Zake. One of the two, that's going to be the one that the Bar Maila was Reichem Zake, or Amila Kamid Rebbe. Some say they were singing in front of the Rebbe, not in front of Hillel, the Chaminayo, and the one is the Bar Maila, we'll see in a second, is Rebbe Yechon. Chadam, one said, Mabitrin Bitara. One said, why was a person harvest grapes Bitara in the state of Tara? They Meskim Bitara. Yeah, when it comes to olives, we're not makbid that should be in a state of Tara. The Chana number one said, "Mimabaitzim b'Tara u'meiskim b'tuma." And one, when he asked the same question, he just said, "Why by grapes are we makbid to harvest b'Tara? We put into the kli kalim that are Tara specifically, and by olives, we're not makbid. It could be done in a state of tuma." So instead of saying instead of saying ein meiskim b'tahara, it says meiskim b'tumah. Amar. So the teacher, whoever it is, whether it's Hillel, whether it's Rebbe, said muftach nei b'zeh shemar ha'rabbi. So I'm muftach with this person, he's mar ha'rabbi. So matam asha ha'ira ha'ira b'Yisrael. And it wasn't many days till whether it's Rebbe Chanan, whether it's Rechem and Zakkai, who was the one that ultimately was mar b'Yisrael. That was the one that used the more nice lashon. Interesting that the nice lashon relates to also Kaycha Psak. I can understand it relates to Kaycha Tzitzkis. Also relates to Kaycha Psak. Okay. Another story. Hanat plus Kahani, the three Kahanim that were dividing the shear from Lechem upon him. Chadam Luhu Higiani Kapul. One said, I got the size of a bean. Chadam Higiani reached me the size of Kazayas of a Kazayas. Chadam Higiani Kazel Alata. And one said, it reached me the size of a lizard's tail. Very interesting choice of description. But Kahachav, they checked after the one who said the size of a lizard's tail. And the Matsu Shemes Psul. They found the Shemes Psul in him. They found some sort of Yichas Psul. Fract Gemar, but you don't do that. Once a person does a Vaid, once a person is fit. Once he's chuchsik to get portions, you don't check into zichas. Hatran ain't baikum rabzeich lamala. Once a person has a stamp of approval that he's been doing work by the mizbeach, he served in the mizbeach. A person who's divine lechem upon him, presumably he served in the mizbeach. So lechari, that should be a stamp of approval. You don't check anymore. Gemara says you're right. Two answers. Answer number one: late time shemitz psul. Don't say they found the shemitz psul of yichas. Ela ima shachatz psul. Doesn't mean it's shemitz psul. It means they found he already has this the element of gaivat him. Hence he used the funny description of the size of a lizard's tail. And vayibay said another answer: shiny husband, do you are enough shay? You don't stamazay go check someone's yichas if there's no reisa. Stamazay some rumblings come up. Room has come up, he serves the base of Midrash, that's a stamp of approval that he has good yichas. But if he himself does something which indicates that maybe we have to check his yichas, then we would check his yichas. We'll leave the next story for tomorrow, but it's a little bit more of a digression. But back on this last story, where they were dividing up, they were discussing their portions of Lechem Panim, it seems like they didn't get the same portion. One got a bean, one got the size of a kazayas, one got the size of a lizard's tail. What's trying to get different portions? Lechem has to be divided equally, so one mahalach they say is that they served in different mishmaras. They weren't serving the same mishmar. Each mishmar divides it equally. But these people were kainanim, were recounting what they got at their individual mishmaras, but they weren't all in the same mishmar. That's a simple answer. Another answer they gave is they all gave the same size. They did get, all got the same size, I should say. But the description of that was very different. The one who had the ayin tayv, he's like, I got, it was like a gazayas to me. The one who has more of ayin ras said it was a kapul. And the other one who had stamzay and a funny description is like the tail of a lizard. They each gave a description for the same amount, different descriptions baked into this conversation. It's not just the fact that people have different Lush, and they also have different, three people can look at the same thing with a different type of light. Now, just a general question, if assuming the amount was really a kapoil, like a bean, and the one said kazayas, like it was saying it's like a kazayas for me, the lechari didn't get a kazayas, if they each didn't get a kazayas, and the lechari is not a real proper achila, is that not a problem? Achilas kachim, so there's a famous base of Levi, the base of Levi discusses that achilas kachim, the mitzvah is for kachim to be nechal by the kanim, but there's no din of achila for the kanim, meaning achila, when you need achila, achilas matzah, you need kazayas, but there's no din of achila, it's just a din that has to be nechal. So when there's a din to be asked nechel, any amount, even if a bunch of people get amounts less than kazayas, that's fine. As long as the carbon was nechel, by the kahanim, you get the mitzvah of having the kahanim considered to have devoured the carbon. That's sufficient. There's one carbon where he says there's a mitzvah to actually have an achila. That's carbon pesach. But carbon pesach, very relevant to pesachim, obviously. Carbon pesach, besides for the mitzvah that every kachim, every carbon has to be eaten up, has to be devoured. The part that's supposed to be eaten should be eaten up by the people who are able to eat it before it becomes nicer. Besides for that, that it could be eaten by minimal amounts. That's fine. That's cool for normal purposes. But for the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, each person has to have a kazayas. We'll pick it up for you tomorrow, Mr. Hashem.